League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's a cast of thousands as we continue to roll on and have some fun on a Tuesday. Still got to pick our way back Wednesday for tomorrow.
Fatherly advice. I like it. We should do that. Unless you want to do 1983, Nick. Somebody said Africa's Toto came out in 83, so they're good with that.
You saw the rain. A bunch of good songs in 1983. 1980 is where nothing was really
going
on.
Down in Africa?
Just dead so you in 1967.
Know. Huh?
No, you're over.
Well, I mean, that's what the listener said.
Well, because he's an idiot.
That you were born in 67?
Yeah, that's over. You guys are a-holes.
Yeah, stupid. It's 68.
No, just take it easy. Okay, now you're doing your internet searching.
Yeah, here you go. 1983 songs from... Now, I didn't do released.
Yeah, see, well, technicality that's boy.
What's your problem?
Flashdance, What a Feeling. Really? This is better than 80?
I'm sure Michael Jackson had some massive hits in 1983.
That is Irene Cara. Separate Ways by Journey. That's pretty strong.
That one has like longevity.
China Girl, David Bowie.
Not a fan.
Every Breath You Take, The Police.
Good. Oh, great song.
Yep, great
Faithfully song. By Journey. So Journey, obviously, this was their big year. New Order's Blue Monday. Huh? You love that. Didn't we do this already?
Nope.
I feel like we've done 83 before. If Blue Monday is on
sometime,
there.
Sometimes. There's and been Journey. A couple weeks where we've kept it general, like anything
no,
before
Nick's
the year 2000.
Song was Blue, I'm Blue, not Blue
no,
Monday.
No, we've done this before. I'm telling you guys, we've done 83. Quarter Flash, Take Me to Heart.
Ooh.
You it's like already that? A way better year
Quarter
than 1980.
Quarter Flash is one of the big saxophone bands. They're from Portland.
This sucks.
I know this.
This sucks. This year sucks. Your birth year sucked for music.
Let's do Barry Warner's birthday.
Oh, they didn't have music.
No.
It wasn't invented yet.
They didn't have television.
They were just banging two rocks together. Oh, that's how fire was invented. The
that's
year
how
he
the
was
Flintstones
born.
Were invented, too. They just decided to just chronologically go through Barry's upbringing.
Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jive?
No clue.
I've never heard that
What's
song.
What's the song?
Can Fantastic
you, it's
song.
Men at Work. Can you pull that up?
I have
up?
No idea what it is.
Can you pull up Men at Work's Dr.
That's
Heckle?
That's the name of the song? I thought you were giving me some random one-hit wonder group.
Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jive. What in the hell?
Who knew they had anything other than Who Can It Be Now?
Nick, this is what you're proud of. 1983's Men at Work.
Well, you're picking the sorriest song.
No, I just Googled. Yeah, let that play.
Okay, so it's clearly a bad song in 1983.
Oh, this is great.
You two-stepped to that?
You might be able to.
No, this is more of a polka. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. That's a polka.
Their video has 2.2 million views on YouTube. Massive.
It's been around since 83, and it only has 2.2 million
views. Yeah, but you have to understand, when YouTube came out,
doesn't matter.
The millennials, the video, you know, they didn't care about this.
They counted all the way back.
No, it's a mistake, because that whole album was, aside from Who Can It Be Now.
This song sucks. This is 83. This is your big year.
This is not indicative of what 1983 was about.
Kind of is.
Michael Jackson's...
I think
biggest
that was
hit.
84 Playboy. I think
check the release date. It's not about when it was still
on the
charts.
I think you're
looking
for Thriller, and I believe it was 84.
Look at the release date.
Be quiet, Joel.
Oh, no. I'm telling you right now. That's
oh,
the
was
technicality.
Billie Jean released in 1983?
No.
No, that's on the charts, but when was it released?
When was Thriller? Damn it. 1982.
Oh, 1982 was Billie Jean.
Tough. So you don't get it. You get none here, and you'll like it.
Yes. So yesterday, New York had snow. They had 3 inches of snow.
So did Pittsburgh, I think, because I saw the Pirates.
But the Yankees were supposed to play at home. So were the Mets. Yankees have pushed back the start time, which features the Men at Work song, It's a Mistake. Because now, first pitch is scheduled to be 4:15 Eastern time, or in about 7 minutes. And everyone is dressed as if they're going through a blizzard.
Aaron Boone's wearing gloves. That's how they, you know it's cold if everybody's wearing
layers,
gloves.
Most of the players are wearing those full head ski masks.
Back when I worked for Halliburton, this was for Cisco Foods. This was a long time ago. I was working for Cisco Foods. I went to Canada in April. We started doing this rollout. We were rolling out, not that you guys care or know what it
boom,
is,
boom,
but
boom,
we were
boom.
Rolling out Active Directory, Windows 2005. Shout out to all my IT nerds. We were started rolling it out. And the first trip was to Canada, and it was April 10th, maybe. It was, first, second week of April, snowed. And I was like, this is not right. Why is it snowing in April? This is stupid. I was like, I could never live this far north.
The one thing that I will say for Denver all the heat that this city has taken for making a retractable roof stadium where they're not going to use it,
yeah,
where it is absolutely useful and necessary, Milwaukee had opening day yesterday. Outside, it was a flat-out disaster. And inside, because of the retractable roof, they were able to play a game comfortably in 70-some degree weather. That's an incredibly smart decision.
Minnesota's an open-air stadium, so going to be cold as hell The Astros go up there. I caught a game last year. Was it last year or two years ago?
The new stadium?
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's a beautiful stadium, yeah. But I thought, man. I mean, Minnesota in June and July is fantastic.
Yep.
But first week of baseball into March,
boys,
still chill.
I tell you over and over again, it is 6 months of the year. It is just 6 to 8 months. Six months of the year to be safe. It is fantastic. Spring and the four seasons, three of those seasons, spring, fall, and summer. Outstanding. At night, it still cools down. But boy, oh boy, if you ain't ready to really go to war for those 4 months that it's winter, you got no business being in that area because it is rough.
I couldn't handle it. I would not be able. Like, I'm not that fan, sitting on the bleachers at a football game, snowing. I just can't. Or a baseball. I just couldn't do that. That's just too cold for me.
Like, especially the East Coast this year. Normally, it's the Midwest that because of the lakes and everything, the Great Lakes, that they get a lot more moisture and a lot more snow.
Yeah.
But this year, was it three now or four nor'easters that I've already hit in the last month or so? And that's why that's why Boston and the Mets and the Yankees in New York and all across the East Coast, getting slammed with like their fourth nor'easter. That is a bitch. Yeah. You want no part of that.
No.
I'm not gonna lie. It did kind of feel muggy at Minute Maid though with the roof open.
Did it?
Yeah, I was happy that the roof was open, but when I was sitting in the press box, I was like, starting to sweat a little bit.
Because I was really happy that it was open for the ceremony and everything like that. But now like tonight, we're supposed to get a lot of rain tonight.
But didn't they already announce all three games? So they can change that.
Oh, well, good thing I ran my sprinkler system last night.
Wait. Time out. Stupid they announced ass. That all three games, the roof will be open?
The three games against the...
Orioles?
Yep. That's what they announced. That's what I saw.
I believe you have to be able to change that before game time as long as you notify the other team. Because based on the forecast and the Doppler radar, it looks like sometime around mid-game,
it's supposed to really start
unloading. And they're saying that, by the end of the game, the drive home could be messy.
I show...
At the Laminack Weather Station?
At the Palatial Laminack Estates. Rain starts to move in about 8 p.m.
I said about midway through the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first pitch is 7 o'clock, right? 7:05?
Yeah.
It's 3 hours. Yeah, I guess that maybe move in.
Right around there. Technicality, boy.
Okay.
All right. When was that released?
What?
Is it still on the charts?
What?
It's another technicality. That's technicality boy in there. Leave it to him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Don't be calling me out on the weather.
Yeah.
Supposed to be pretty heavy rain, though,
isn't it? Yeah, they'll have the roof closed.
I think so, too.
Well, it just says 95% chance at 9 o'clock. And this is in spring, though. What do you want from me?
I want the exact weather for downtown Houston where the stadium is, not on the farm.
Oh, my God. All right, Houston.
Thanks, Frank Billingsley.
9 o'clock, 70% chance of thunderstorms.
Yep.
90% chance of 10.
Nick. Yeah. No scan. That's the plan.
Don't go.
Don't go tonight.
I wouldn't go. I would go home and watch from the house.
The Rockets and to skip both games?
Oh, you can go to the Rockets game, but your drive home is going to be messy.
Yes. You don't want to do this. The drive home, it's going to be raining from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Or excuse me, 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. You don't want to drive in there.
Yeah, unless you've seen American Wheel and Tire lately. I know you don't like the lane change in the wet conditions. Not as smart.
Have you gone out and bought a motorcycle / jet ski yet? Then you don't want to be out there right now.
That's right. You guys that's when you can ride the wave.
Really bad.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
I think y'all just convinced me not to go to the game. Honestly.
Well, that's what we're here for.
I would, if I would, everyone in this city should stay home.
Yep.
And then you go, Nick.
I would actually save it tonight. So that you can do it tomorrow night.
Oh.
Tomorrow night, I will be at Tastemakers.
That's what I'm talking
that's
about.
Where everybody's
going to
be.
Save it tonight. Go to the Tastemakers event tomorrow night, Silver Street Studios. It's April the 4th. All the top cuisine from Houston's top restaurants, an open bar. You can have your drinks and eat it too with lots of good food. Hey, tickets on sale now. They're just $55 in advance. $65 at the door. Either way, the tickets even include valet parking, but who wants to pay the extra 10? $55 right now. Go to culturemap.com/tastemakers. Grab your tickets because the food and drinks would be free after you buy them. Don't miss it. It's the Tastemakers event tomorrow, Silver Street Studios, right here in H-Town. Check it out.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back in the final hour of The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Still looking for a Way Back Wednesday theme. We will allow
it's not
if you
be
guys still want to suggest things. Someone said we've already done 83.
Yeah. So it's not going to happen. And
so
whoever,
the technicality guy can't be pulling technicalities on years and release dates.
Somebody texted and said, what about white guys who sound like black guys for Way Back Wednesday? I did have an album out. I guess we could just play the Honey Badger
anthem. Boom,
boom,
boom. Let me hear you say whale.
Whale.
No.
Fine Young Cannibal?
This whole song would just be, or the whole Way Back Wednesday would just be Third Base and Vanilla Ice. No.
Eminem?
That's a terrible, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Eminem. Asher Roth.
Songs, yeah.
No, I guess Asher Roth doesn't sound black. Does he?
Kind of.
A little bit?
Okay. I don't know. I think we're not allowed to say stuff like that anyway.
What?
Like that guy sounds black or white.
Well, he just did.
Why not?
I don't know. People get offended, bro.
People, that's the main thing people say about me on this show.
Well, to you, it's okay.
For the last
Everybody
year.
Everybody else is offensive.
Oh, well.
I'm not worried about offending you.
Yeah. Nobody is, apparently. Songs that were popular during high school graduation. But during your high school graduation, but we know Lady Bird Joel probably won't go for it. Why Lady Bird Joel?
Who said that?
Just a texter.
Yeah, see?
The graduation song came out the year I graduated from high school.
The graduation song? What is that song?
That I forgot her name. I think her name is Vitamin C. Vitamin C. I'm trying to find her right now.
What?
Oh, there was someone called Vitamin C. I think you're right. I think I do recall that. That's a remake, obviously, of the real graduation song.
Oh, so this was a remake? I didn't know that.
They're sampling that.
No, like this was like the original.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't called the graduation song.
I'm sure it was a march or a hymn.
You know, like the New Year song is Old Lang Syne.
I'm an idiot. It was 99, so. But it is Vitamin C, and it was released in 1999.
So there are. Oh, my God.
You know this is going to be played at reunions.
I've never heard this song. Her name is Vitamin C?
I mean, I think she was a one-hit wonder.
No.
Oh, she had
Steal
other
My Sunshine? Check it out. See, I think that's Steal My Sunshine.
Let's see.
Vitamin C. What a stupid-ass name.
Why?
For an artist.
You are correct, sir.
Steal My Sunshine.
Steal My Sunshine.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good song.
You don't have to get your version. You can get her version.
I can sing it. I can sing it.
Vitamin C. It's uplifting. It's good for you.
This is stupid. Barry doesn't sound black. He just wishes he was black.
God. Okay, here we go.
Way to go, idiot.
You based got on your, the MRI, you, Barry. You're halfway there.
You got your text read, dumbass. I hope you're happy. Jeez. Rick Astley sounds black? No, he doesn't. Does he?
No.
Not even close.
He's more of a crooner.
Like Bublé?
Yeah.
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 Is he really, though?
And Harry Connick?
Yeah. You a fan of Michael Bublé and Harry Connick Jr.?
Not Michael Bublé. Harry Connick Jr. is decent.
They say Michael Bublé is actually a really funny dude.
He's very Sinatra-esque.
When he sings, yes.
Yeah.
But they say, like, if you just hung out with the dude, that he was very, like, you know, he's a practical joker and fun to hang out with, really funny. He doesn't strike me as that because of his music, but.
I'll tell you what, man. If you're a pitcher, you don't want to be throwing today in New York. Because this is how you're going to hurt your elbow.
If you're a hitter, you don't want to be hitting.
Don't get sawed off either. Yeah, but I'm just saying, I've pitched in that weather before in college. And I'm telling you right now, when you start throwing curveballs and stuff, the tension and the pressure and what your elbow feels like, and not to mention, oh, man, that's miserable right there. It is not surprising to me that behind home plate at Yankee Stadium, it looks like a Rockets game in the first quarter. There's no one there.
I did notice the seats started emptying out last night. I was like, well, way to stay through the whole game, at Astros baseball fans. Game? Yeah. Speaking of the Astros, I got to tell you what, man. I've been impressed with two things on this team so far. Not the hitting, not the pitching, although the pitching has been a bit impressive. We kind of expected that. It was cool to see Gerrit Cole. But the way Alex Bregman has been picking it at third base, that dude has been playing some really good defense.
Yep.
And the fact that last night, J.D. Davis played a pretty damn good first base. He had a couple of stretches at first that kind of reminded me of Bagwell a little bit. That, you know, Yuli does pretty well. I mean, he's
Marwin.
The transition Marwin. But I was pretty impressed with J.D. Davis. He assisted on a couple of outs last night. That I mean, good for him. If he can get his bat going, he might have a role on this team. I'm not saying he's going to be a major star or anything. I mean, but if you could get 275 out of a guy like J.D. Davis and Derek Fisher,
along with the
rest of those guys.
That's just an unexpected bonus.
275, 15, 70, something like that. Yeah, you'd take that in a heartbeat.
But Bregman did play his ass off. I like the way Bregman and Gonzalez, both of them played.
Yeah.
I guess you expect the versatility from Marwin Gonzalez.
And he's always had a good arm. The play last year in the playoffs. Yeah, the play in the playoffs just gave him more confidence to know no play is out of his realm and he will take a shot. And boy, his range, he got rangy last night on the dead run and the way he's throwing off of 1 foot. Yeah, his defense has just really, it's gotten better and better. It was never bad, but settling in, that's a tough move from shortstop to third base initially, and he's really starting to master that position. It's great.
Yeah, he looked really good.
And with some of the double plays that Correa and Altuve have already turned early in the season.
The Astros weren't really known for their defense. They're not a horrible defensive team, but they're not great.
Right.
But, I mean, Correa's going to boot a ball. He's one of those guys where he's going to make some pretty spectacular plays, and then he's just going to boot a couple where you're like, what are you doing, bro? But overall, I mean, the outfield should be really good. Although, I thought last night Springer misplayed that ball that was hit right at him in center field.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like he should have caught that. And I don't know if that was just me, but I know when the ball comes right at you, it's hard to judge. And that ball was right at him. He took kind of a weird route to it.
He's also had issues with the light.
That's getting nitpicky. Well, in right field.
Right field, but then they also changed to why it looks like it's day glow in the stadium now. They tried to tone down
the lights
and use a different kind of lighting with the LED because it is super bright in that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely in right field, he's got an issue with that. I'd be interested to see if he would comment on what the backdrop looks like trying to pick up a ball and the spin and everything when you're taking it from dead center.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So it'll be definitely interesting to see how that all plays out and how that goes. All right, so we've got a half hour to go still in the big show. So we're going to continue to roll on. And again, if you want to join us, you can text us or call us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line where you can call or text, or you can hit us up on Twitter, and we'll be able to respond to you. We're pretty good about responding before, during, and after the show as well. But if you want to get it in during the show itself, hit us up before 4 o'clock. It's the final half hour on the way. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Behind your collar.
The
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, here we go. Final half hour of the show. It is Nick. It is Barry. It is Joel. It's The Usual Suspects. It's a Tuesday as we continue to roll on. Been fun so far, as it always is. Hopefully it's entertaining for you as well as we kick it around with sports and stuff.
CBS News reporting there's a developing situation. Officials respond to reports of a possible active shooter at YouTube headquarters in San Bruno, California.
YouTube? Wow. Mm-hmm.
YouTube headquarters. That's James Brown sent me the link to that. That's not good.
That's not good at all. A lot of stuff going on in Silicon Valley, too. And you got Zuckerberg and Apple getting in feuds and back and forth and all this stuff with Facebook. And do you still do Facebook?
Yeah, I do. I the way I've separated now, I mean, and I feel bad. I get a lot of requests from listeners that want to be friends on Facebook, and I don't accept them because I keep it pretty tight knit on Facebook. That's the one spot on social media where I don't have a lot of fans or listeners or anything like that. It's just friends and family. So if I get a little emotional or want to, you know, talk about something that's more personal to me, I expect the audience to be a little closer to me in my inner circle. But I mean, Twitter, Instagram, and all that—it's an open book. Anybody, I'll interact with anybody.
I do the exact same thing. I don't do Instagram, period. But
yeah,
Twitter is more for all the listeners and.
But you need to get on the gram, sir.
Yeah, you should get on the gram.
So I know you told me that the other day. I do need to, and I believe a buddy of mine set it up for me at one point. I just never used it, but I should. And I know you. I knew you were going
to
chuckle.
That's
at that.
Pretty bad. You had to have somebody set up your Instagram.
I didn't have to.
I had to
it was
set
a
up
friend
my
of mine
Instagram.
That kept saying, I need you to be on Instagram so that these pictures, I can send them easier and blah, blah, blah. And so I didn't do it. So he was like, okay, well, now your password is this and this is your login. And I'm like, well, that's dangerous because you could control what goes on my account. So I never did anything with it. And maybe he did. And maybe I'm a...
Did you register for Twitter or did the Rockets do that?
No, I
you?
Did that. Actually, they forced us to be on Twitter, but I actually set it up.
Okay. I was just
they
asking.
Forced you?
I can believe that.
Yeah,
I can
once you're
that.
A broadcaster with a professional team, especially with how much they focus on social media, they basically strongly encourage you to make sure you have a Twitter account and you're active with it.
I mean, they kind of encourage me here. So
Craig has slowed down a little bit. Craig was the guy that used to tick me off because in breaks, that's when, like we do here, you use it for communicating stuff to get ready for the next segment or whatever. We'd go to break. And I'd say, hey, Craig, did you see that so-and-so's 6-for-9 in the game and really kind of stepping up? And he'd be like, huh? What? And I'm like, he goes, hang on, I got to send this tweet real quick. And he was great about reading and responding to tweets and sending them out throughout the game. He
slowed down a little bit. How do you do that if you're play-by-play, though?
He's
like color I can see, but like play-by-play, like...
Like we all multitask your butt up, but he was great about it. It's just, you get used to it. It's like... You know, like I told you guys, when I was doing the studio and the color and I'm writing the game scenario and the recap and inserting the highlights with the studio and still doing color live during the game, the engineer would look at go, how are you doing? I don't even think at a certain point you just get used to it. It's like riding a bike. You just do it.
Isn't the Pelicans play-by-play guy? Hasn't he been like the play-by-play voice since like 79 or something? Does he have a Twitter account? Or there's this
on
one
TV,
team.
Joel Myers, he used to be on NBC Sports. Joel Myers and David Wesley, the ex-Rocket, do TV. Yeah,
Joel Myers.
Like I'm talking 30 years.
He sounds familiar. Was he? Did he do?
He did Texans preseason.
Ah,
every
there
year.
You
he was
go.
Bob Allen's boy.
Yeah,
he and Bob
yeah,
Allen
yeah,
are
yeah,
buddies,
okay.
And wine drinkers. Their radio play by play guy is a good friend of mine, Sean Kelly. He and Craig, I always put in the same category. He, because of Tom Benson, who just passed away, owns the Pelicans and the Saints. It was a great gig for him because he's the radio play by play voice of the Pelicans. He's the sideline reporter for the Saints and gets to do shows on the Saints too and fill in on Saints broadcasts. So, you know, for all the extra work for the people in the office when you have two teams, it's got to be cool for a broadcaster to do both NFL and NBA.
Yeah. Joel, I know Myers used to do. Does he still do it with Spencer Tillman? I think he still does it
on the preseason games. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So he's still involved. Yep. All right.
Yeah. So he does because the. You know, that's why they kind of use their spring training for their broadcasters for the national games. So a lot of guys get run, and when they don't have enough national team members from the NBC and CBS group, then they just get the guys that do preseason games.
Somebody wanted to know, Brandon Hannon said, who has the best rotation, the Astros or the Nats?
We went through this the other day.
Did we?
Yeah, someone asked us this when we were doing our baseball preview, I believe. I think top one through five, it's the Astros. But I mean, look, when you got a, if you got a short series or you're going to bring guys on short rest and you got Scherzer and you've got Strasburg, you got a pretty good top of the rotation.
Yeah, I think the Astros have the best rotation in baseball. I don't even know if I would take, I might take the Nats are maybe top five, but I could think of some other rotations when you look at one through five statistically that performed better than the Nats rotation. I mean, when healthy, I might take the Mets.
Pretty salty.
Cleveland, yeah. So there's the Cubs. Getting you Darvish. Listen, Arrieta, he lost a lot of velocity over the last year. You Darvish, even though he was tipping his pitches, there's no reason to think when you look at what his the year he had statistically and how he performed, just because he had a bad World Series doesn't mean he's a bad pitcher now.
So it's an upgrade when you take Darvish over Arrieta?
The way they're trending, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think Arrieta was trending down when you look at it. He lost a lot of velocity in his fastball. His numbers were declining since he won the Cy Young a couple years ago. Yu Darvish has maintained his level. I mean, there's a reason he was considered to be the best available arm and probably the best free agent on the market.
There's a reason why he still got that money, yeah. Regardless. And so, Arrieta got paid too, but I think from a Mets perspective, I think from a Mets perspective, the back end of that rotation is not as solid and staunch as the front end of it, but they've got a lot of good young arms on that staff.
Yeah, but I think the class of anything is the Astros. I mean, the Astros could literally go seven deep if they wanted to. I know there were some teams that were talking about a six-man rotation. I believe it's the Angels were considering a six-man rotation. The Astros could literally go seven and not have to really – there wouldn't be a tremendous drop-off.
No, there'd just be a home run after the first pitch.
All right. You leave Colin McHugh alone. There's nothing wrong with that. Did you see that kid that plays for
one
the Orioles?
Oh.
No. What?
Yeah. Do you see that?
There's a one-armed catcher?
It was so awesome. No. I tweeted it. Someone said that they wanted it to go viral, and Travis sent it to me. But there's a kid, and I want to say it's like, it's not Little League. It's maybe like Babe Ruth League or whatever. He's a one-handed catcher, and it's the most awesome. He catches it, flips the ball from the catcher's mitt up in the air, strips the glove off, catches it with the one hand, throws it back to the pitcher, puts the glove back on. Saw him on a strike three, wing it around the horn. And it's all with a flip from the glove to get the glove off his hand to pick the ball out of the air and throw it. It's pretty awesome.
That's amazing. I mean, when you get put in a corner, you force yourself to learn things and do things that normal people really can't do, like the average person couldn't do. And I'm so impressed by that, because people who are, you know, relatively normal and have all their hands and their fingers and, you know, they complain, and then you got someone like that coming through doing his thing. You got to find some inner motivation sometimes.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah,
so
I'm
he
show
flips
you the video.
It. So he catches it, flips the ball in the air, slings the glove off.
Yep.
Catches the ball from the air and throw. So I'm guessing that it doesn't work real well when he's trying to throw out runners.
That's
though.
The only thing that I was thinking of, because of course you take it to that next level when you see that he's mastered just the throwbacks to the pitcher and around the horn. But you know, I give the coaches credit too for putting him in that situation and everything. But to see this kid do what he's doing
now,
it's really impressive.
Okay, and I agree with you. Now, what level of ball is this? Is this like
I said? It's above Little League, and it's before like high school ball, so it's probably like Babe Ruth League or whatever they called it.
Is it a dick move to steal on him? If you're on first, you get a hit. You're on first. It's a 2-2 ball game, seventh inning. This is the last inning because it's Little League or whatever. Are you an a-hole if you steal?
It crossed my mind. It did.
I'm asking.
But at that level, I feel like you are.
So I think if it's high school or college, here it is. So the guy named Tony Austin was the one that tweeted it. But he said it's his buddy's kids hitting. And I'll let Barry do the play-by-play watching it happen. But this kid...
Okay, first of all, pause it.
I want you to see him do it.
Oh, wow. That was smooth.
That's what I'm saying.
That was real smooth. Like, okay, so questions, though. So yep. I'm watching this. The first thing is, how does he do signs?
Well,
so you can't call for a pitch. So you can't say, you know what? There's a runner on second. So
he
I'm
could. Maybe it's just not a hand signal.
I'm going to drop 2-1-2 inside. You can't do any of that.
Glove position is the inside-outside, and you can do other things. Maybe it's with your legs. Maybe it's a head movement. Maybe it's different things. As long as you're on the same page with your pitcher.
I guess that's a lot to try to be doing.
All right, at Pac-Man Joel, I'm going to retweet this right now
that's
so you
badass.
Can check it out.
That's badass, but I tell you what, don't shame me if I run on him. I mean, it's baseball. My job is to steal a bag, get in a scoring position for my team. Really, is it a dick move if you run on him?
You know
that's what I want to know.
I really wonder
I
what he
no.
would say.
No,
like maybe he doesn't want to be treated
watch
like...
Watch him go around
exactly.
the horn at the end. After the strikeout, or that he... it's as smooth. Like I said, the first time I saw it, the guy was like, watch the video and make this go viral. And you're like,
yeah.
You're like, wait a minute.
I tell you, I guess that they're getting pitches from the dugout. So the manager's probably calling.
That's possible, too.
Fastball. So you just look over there. He looks over there. They're both on the same page. The manager can call the pitches. I'm running on oh boy, though. I'm sorry. I like winning. I admire you, but you know what? My job is to win baseball games.
I wonder what the
games.
Kid feels.
I'm running. I bet he would be that way.
He might
Yo,
be like,
Adrian
you know
has
what?
A great
treat
point.
Me like
what
a normal
he throws
player.
Your ass out.
That wouldn't surprise me either.
That might make me hesitate because what if
now,
I do try to
now
steal?
Then,
and then
okay,
me a-
so we do we agree that you can run on him? Seventh inning. This is the last inning in a high school game or
it's
whatever
legit.
It is. You run on him.
I think at a certain age level,
if,
too.
If he
you
throws
get a bit
you
more-
out.
Snippy about it.
If he throws you out, is it okay for your team to tease you? Or is that
Ooh,
also a dick
that's
move?
A bad, that's like
that's
one of
a
those,
bad teasing, right?
That's like a, you don't, what do we call
but
that?
But I think
not
it's inevitable.
Correct.
Like it's going to happen.
I'm that's
like,
not politically
do think,
correct.
Yeah, well, you don't do it out there on the...
Right.
But
do
you know,
like you don't do it in front of the man.
I was going to say, you know he's going to catch some heat in the locker
in the
room.
Pee?
What?
When you're busy grabbing him in the pee, you do it in the locker room?
Grab him in the pee.
That's the president's move.
Oh, yeah, but when you're like when he's not around, you don't want to taunt, you know, the guy that gets thrown out by the one-armed catcher on the field, because then you're being an a-hole to his face. But I'm sure there are some insensitive people in the locker room that are going to tease you about that. I don't know. That's not okay. That's a lot of questions. I don't this moral dilemma. I don't know about that.
Christina says I have a fully functioning body and I'm barely coordinated enough to walk and
I
talk.
I just saw that.
That's fantastic. That was great. All right. And El Jefe wants to know why I took at Pac-Man Joel and want to know was at Red Rowdy Joel taken. It used to be, in all honesty, El Jefe, when I had to do to set up the Twitter account, it was at Rocket Man Joel. And it changed for obvious reasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rocket
so there you
Man.
Go. Have that. My buddy Carmine looks like he's on hold. We'll get you after the break, Carmine. Hang tight. We got one segment to go in the big show before we turn it over to The Blitz. Fred, AJ, and John will take you home till 7, but we've got one to go. So we'll be back in just a few minutes right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Go, 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 go.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back final segment. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday where it's starting to get progressively more cloudy in the big city. We all know that DiVincenzo is nicknamed the Big Ragu for Villanova.
Yeah.
The original was on Laverne and Shirley. Carmine was the Big Ragu.
Okay.
And on hold is Carmine I used to work with at the Rockets.
Are you
and I
sure?
used to call him the Big Ragu. It
you,
always is.
You think there's only
listener.
One Carmine in this city?
Carmine, is it you?
It's me.
Thank you very much,
hey,
sir.
It's a Carmine, hey!
There's not that many. I looked, back when I worked for the Rockets, I actually did a search one time for Carmine in Houston. I think I was the only one at the time. I
really?
Think there's like one other one now.
Well, that sucks.
Well, it's good to be you, brother.
But,
are you in the are you Italian?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Only half, though. Which is
that'd be weird if you were like Mexican named Carmine. That would be weird.
Yeah.
All right, what's anyway, the Astros pitch?
You guys were talking about the Rockets rotation. The Astros rotation. Why? Here's a question. Why? And I don't want to get in the habit of second guessing Kench or giving him any ideas because I think he's good. But especially early on here in the season, when you got McHugh and Peacock back there, and these guys are cruising at through six, and they could clearly get, Cole and Verlander especially could have easily gone out for another inning if it wasn't early in the season, and you don't want to stretch them out or whatever. Why don't they put McHugh and Peacock and let them see if they can do the last three? And that's actually like a role they can have some pride in, as opposed to last night when they kind of throw McHugh out there and be like, here, get three outs for us. When and kind of treat them like garbage almost. But when you get a three inning save there, that's like, if they do it in the playoffs, then I feel like in the regular season, it's like, okay, we got to go back to this Devinsky for this guy against the lefty with his change up. And just, it was like, the game was already won in the sixth inning. You just get the three innings out of one of the two guys you got out there that can go five or six in a start if need be. What do you think?
It's an interesting proposition. I mean, the biggest thing is if you're going to be a long reliever, if you look at what they had planned to do, and because Devinsky got tired arm in the early part of the season last year, and Peacock became more of your long relief guy, and when he wasn't starting, and then because they called on him, it's a good way to prep a guy for some longer relief stints. But the same way that you're prepping your starters for longer stints later in the year by saving their arm when they could have gone longer, to his point, I think you don't want to overextend your relief pitchers early in the year either. But I know you probably have some thoughts on this.
Yeah, so a couple things. One, when you're this early on in the season, you're just trying to get everybody in a game, right? And you're trying to get guys game action. And when you've got a bullpen, it's easier to do that with a position player because whoever didn't start in game one can start in game two. You're going to have a couple of substitutions. You might, J.D. Davis coming in because Marwin Gonzalez goes to short, Derek Fisher, whatever. You saw Mariznick get in a couple of games. When it comes to that rotation, it's a little bit different. You're probably playing a bit of matchups to begin with in the seventh inning or eighth inning. And then at the end, when it's out of hand, now you're just trying to get guys, keep them on a regular schedule. Because I imagine a guy like Colin McHugh is still used to pitching every 5 days. And so you're trying to transition into a more comfortable role in that bullpen. You don't need a three-inning outing this early on by Colin McHugh. Remember, this is what you're saying is the exact thing that happened to Chris Devinsky that wore him out in the first half, is he would come in and pitch two innings, and he did it on several occasions. I think they're going to be cautious with all these guys and limit their innings because that bullpen is so deep. So I think you're just – there was a spot. He hadn't pitched since March 31st when he went 1.1 innings. There was an inning left. All the other guys had pitched some. Throw him out there, let him go out and get some work. Because look, again, you of all the guys in that bullpen, Colin McHugh is the one that doesn't have experience getting ready quickly for a game and for an inning to pitch. And when you're up 8-2 or whatever they were up, that's a great opportunity to let him go through those motions with very little at risk. You don't want to throw him out there when it's 3-2 and he's just now adjusting to getting ready to go out and pitch in the middle of a game.
He almost made it a close game.
Hey, well...
He left some guys on base after giving up the first hitter ding dong. But yeah, I mean, look, and the other thing is, I get it. You make some great points. The thing to me too is just, don't dabble unless you have to. You could extend the rotation. You could say, well, I want to get McHugh innings in case we need him as a starter, but you don't. I gave the stats for the first time through all five starters. When you get a 1.78 ERA and you're striking out 30 some guys, and on average you're pitching 6+ innings a guy, you're in a really good position right now. So yeah, just let them keep building their arm strength, do what you got to do. And like you said, even in the game that they lost, he made sure Smith got some work. And all those guys have pitched. Because you got to throw.
Tony Sipp goes out there, faces some righties. So, I mean, everybody's getting their innings in. And right now, I think what you're trying to see is you don't know what role Colin McHugh is. Is he going to be long relief? Is he going to be a specialist? Is he going to be a seventh or eighth inning guy? You're trying to figure out where he fits into that bullpen. My guess is you want him to be long relief because he's going to be one of the first arms out of the pen if one of the guys in the rotation goes down or needs to miss a couple of starts. Colin McHugh is going to be that guy. So it may just be that where that, hey, we got to keep him fresh. If one of these guys has an issue, Colin McHugh might be the guy to step up first. So we got to be ready to go to him, and he has to be on some sort of regular work schedule.
Absolutely.
So that may be what it is.
Yeah, so we'll see. And it's, look, like we said, overall, it's a good – I don't worry about A.J. Hinch making the right decisions. He's proven he's no Gabe Kapler.
That's,
you know.
Or Aaron Boone.
Yeah. He's going to warm him up.
Damn him for having guys ready.
He's
going to
warm him up first, then throw him out there instead of throwing him out there and then warming him up. Why is it that they're sending out tweets that the Blitz only go till 6 tonight?
Aggie basketball. I have no idea.
No.
I don't know. What's going on?
I don't know. Jong sent out a tweet that says they're going to do the best of the Blitz after 6.
Oh, well, there you go.
So,
Hey, real quick, can I give a shout out to Tracy and Willingham?
You just did.
Hey, Barry, my name's Tracy. I listen to you guys every day. I'm on my way back from Amarillo, where we just buried my brother. I'm listening to you guys on the app. It's made my trip home so much better. You guys do a great job. Man, Tracy, sorry for your loss. Thank you for listening. Yep. I know that's a tough thing to go through. Hang in there. But yeah, thank you for listening as well. I'm glad we could help.
Justin Van Zandt.
What other way we can.
First time listener. Love the show. Well, make it a habit, my friend. We appreciate Justin, you stopping by.
Stop being stupid and listen all the time.
That would be fantastic.
Some dinner at Texas Mattress Makers, so they're leaving at 6.
Okay.
I don't know if it's an appearance or whatever. I guess.
Justin's the listener.
Right, I know.
Jacob Van Zandt is the first time listener. Love the show.
Oh, Justin liked it after said it. Yeah, Jacob, thanks for following the lead and joining the show. We appreciate you and make it a habit. We'd appreciate that. And by the way, when we're giving shout outs, also a rest in peace, Alton Ford, who was a Houston basketball legend. Everybody thought he was going to do big things in the NBA, played at University of Houston. Uh-huh. The Rockets even tried to rejuvenate his career at one point or another. I just saw a tweet from the Houston men's basketball department this morning. He passed away of cancer.
Oh, man.
Just hate to hear that, because that kid had such a promising future at one point. Left college
cancer
early.
Cancer sucks.
It does. It really does.
DJ, I guess it's Kuhn? K-U-Y-N? Kuhn? I don't know how to pronounce that. You need to tell me how to pronounce your name, bro.
Yeah, because I'm not.
But he said if you run on that catcher with one arm, he probably just beams you. It's true. That's what I would do. Oh, you're going to run? Take that. And now we're even. All right, what's the theme for tomorrow?
What are we doing?
What's our way back Wednesday, Nick? Producer Nick making the final judgment. What's it going to be?
Just pick whatever
Dad
you want.
Advice?
No.
It doesn't really bother me.
Songs from 83? Because I'll fire that email off right now because I have
No, we can't do 19.
It's ready. Okay. Well, pick something, guys. Let's go. All these suggestions came in.
I mean,
duos,
cool
trios, songs with weird instruments in them, like cowbells. What are we going
to
do?
We waited. At least we waited till the end to figure this
out. Yeah, I know. You guys are so disappointing. You know what?
It's always on us when it doesn't go well. Did you
notice
that,
Nick?
Because
when I pick, you guys say no.
Okay, I'm
because
down
you already got a list in queue.
All right. Shout out to Rachel. Travel safe.
Yes. Sure.
All right. You guys, you text me or email me the list. I'll wait until tomorrow when I get here to make mine so you guys can not suck tomorrow on Way Back Wednesday. How about that?
Well, we'll see who gets disqualified. All right. Well, that'll do it for us. The Blitz will take you home till 6, and then the best of the Blitz at 7. Regardless, next it'll be Fred, AJ, and Jong. Don't go anywhere. It's right here on ESPN 97.5. Have a good night, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi-compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.